review, and Megs, if you could speak to that budget review. And we've talked earlier about a couple of things that were missing in relation to, grant funding and JobKeeper. And but before Megs goes into it, I actually, having been through it, I think it's quite remarkable what we've been able to achieve, given that we had some carryover from the council. We took some financial responsibilities from the council that we didn't think we had. And before COVID, we're actually tracking really well, and we're looking at covering both of those outstanding amounts, as well as making a profit. So congratulations to Megs for getting us this far.
Thank you. Yeah, so going on from that, I guess with that report, just I put in the profit and loss basically because that's straight out of the zero accounting package. And it just shows you, like, at the end of March, we were looking, like 65,000 sitting there. We still had money due to come from the council, their contribution. So we really were looking like we were going to come away with probably a surplus this financial year. So obviously disappointing that we happened to have a panda Danny sort of hit us at this stage, but never mind. The actual amount that we're going to need extra from council, I've managed to get it down to 28,500 more than what is originally in our contribution from them. I'm sort of hoping still that we might be able to make that even less once we get to it being actuals, but that's just putting it there so that we know that we've got it covered if by chance it doesn't, land perfectly. Because some of the things that we have to still allow in that budget is, what if we had a disaster with a horse and we needed to spend 10 grand at the vet to get them, operated on or something like that? So that's still sitting there, and hopefully, it won't need to be spent. I did try and get JobKeepers and was feeling like it was looking really promising. And at the very last button that you press, it says in the fine print down the bottom that it doesn't work for authorities. And as we pressed that button, it went bling blow, no, you're not eligible. So that was a real blow, but we're very lucky that we're supported by council. So therefore, still able to keep horse husbandry roles have been keeping on going. Adrian, myself, Tamar's doing 12 hours a week. And then just a little bit of casual hours is still involved. So from that side of it, we're keeping it going without the JobKeepers. SATC still not completely convinced we're not going to get the 5,000 grant from them. I've gone back to Peter, and he's going down the lines that he can with that. So that could be our last sort of, that could be a nice helper in the end if we did get that. The authority side of things of how we're set up is definitely where it trips us up. We tick all the boxes with GST and ABNs, but the authority section doesn't, because we haven't, we're a subsidiary of the council. What else do I need to? So yeah, going to council, I'm hoping that they will be understanding, considering of COVID and just closing, just being closed. We will potentially be able to just do a soft open before the end of financial year, and hopefully in the next week or so. But again, it's not going to be, if you look at only 10 people on the tram, it's not something that's going to bring a whole lot of money in, but it will give purpose for those training runs.
Can we have 10 people on the train in terms of the amount of space on it?
Yeah, if you imagine that most people don't travel on their own on the tram, they're generally there with their family.
Yep.
Yeah, so as a rule, you've got a couple, you've got a family of four. So if we work and we'll put markers on the actual tram, and it'll be a lot of us actually doing the talking with them to make sure different groups are sitting in their different areas. But I do believe that we can successfully have 10 people.
And that meets the criteria. So
Well, that's a question that I know Karen has gone and Victoria's asked the question of SAPOL about whether we can open or not. And I don't believe we've got the answer yet, have we, Karen?
No, not as yet. But what I'm hearing is local government non-essential services like libraries can recommence, but then there are specific things for museums and galleries, which was why I say the Whale Centre can't open. So from my take on it, I can't see why, with all those precautions in place, the horse tram couldn't. But I think because it is quite specialised and because I think Victoria was somewhat concerned, it wouldn't be a good look if we opened and then got told to shut. She just wants that confirmation from SAPOL, who will obviously be enforcing it if there's any concern. So we're hoping, I've said to Meg, plan as if we're moving ahead with these restrictions in place still, but maybe just hold off on the actual opening until we get confirmation from SAPOL, hopefully in the next day or so.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And by the sounds of it, a lot of the rules that have been put in place are a little bit obtuse, because you've got restaurants being able to open with 10 people, but does that include people that come in for takeaway? And they, you know, there seems to be lots of anomalies in there that they don't understand or that hasn't been explained properly.
Yeah, it's also about making a profit. And one of the things we talked about earlier today was with Megs was that one, the driver is outside, so that they don't need to be included in the 10 probably. And the other is if we're doing a training run, if you're interested in everybody else's opinion about this, if we're doing a training drive with the tram, tram's empty, got some people hanging around, want to jump on it, that might be something that we could do just to bring in a bit of cash. And also, that would be an opportunity to have a bit of a trial run on our COVID restrictions.
Mm. And, I mean, they are sort of when we can run, we do probably 2 to 4 runs a day with the exercising of the horses. So, yeah, I think...
Potential 40 people, I guess.
Sorry, Nigel?
Potentially 40 people then.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not going to be a big money spinner, but we're doing the run anyway, so if we can make a little bit of money out of it, that's a great thing.
Mm, sure. Just cover some wages anyway.
Yeah.
Everybody's nodding in agreement with that?
Yeah.
I think if we're framing it, I'm thinking if you're framing it as a training run, then it doesn't necessarily fit so well with sex. Selling tickets, but if it's essential exercise for horses,
yeah,
it kind of to me sounds a bit better.
Yeah, so yeah, we wouldn't call it training. In it's more just it's their
exercise. It's critical exercise. Yeah,
yeah. Their routine. It's all about the horses, really, and why we've been doing it throughout this period. We did have 4 days with the causeway closed to vehicles again after those high winds on Thursday, Friday. So they just reopened that again this morning after an engineer's report yesterday. So it's all good to go.
It's probably going to be closed this afternoon, Meg, so I would have thought.
Well, hopefully.
Look at those trees behind you
now. As you can see in the background, the swells.
Yeah, the palm trees are really moving.
All right, back to the budget. Any specific questions? If you've got any questions in relation to the budget, if you can perhaps just name the page that you're on, just to give us an opportunity to get to see that quickly.
Mine doesn't have a page number, but it's just in terms of procedure and council. Is just doing this report enough to flag to them that we won't meet budget, or do we need to do something else in terms of formally flagging that, you know, we're not going to meet the budget that was put in?
I think Karen probably needs to answer this one. But my understanding is that it's a review, so you're letting them know in advance that it's not looking like we'll make budget.
So this is the procedure then?
Yeah.
Carol, yep. Shaking. Karen, if you want to have some feedback on that.
Thank you. Through the chair. Yes. So what I will do out of this is, Megan, I've already started talking about it and I've already started preparing my draft agenda item for the council meeting in anticipation. So I will actually put together a report to council showing that you have done your quarterly budget review. So they will get the, it'll essentially be a heads up of where we're predicting the horse tram authority is going to end up at the end of year and a budget adjustment. And that means council could start preparing their own budgets accordingly because they're going through their own budget review process. Of course, Meg has said that she believes unless something goes wrong in terms of, you know, horse vet expenses or anything like that, she probably can recoup some of that. But based on where we're at and what expenses we may still incur, she's been quite conservative with this particular budget review. So some of that commentary will come through from the report because I'll table the actual report as an attachment to council so they can see everything that you've seen as well.
Thank you.
I've got a question just in regard to attachment A, which should be page 6 of the agenda. One of the lines, the budget lines there is administration charges, rent on assets. Now, there's a budget of $42,000 and I'm not sure if this refers to rent on the building or the horses or the tram or which assets it refers to. But I have noted that council in their resolutions to support local businesses, etc., have that, well, they are waiving rent on other buildings that have formal leases for businesses. I wondered if that's something we could approach council about having a reduction to our rent on assets, if appropriate or not, as it to save a bit of money in the budget.
Yeah, I think if I may, through the chair, with any of that, the corporate charge as well as the rent on assets, the rent is actually the depreciation. They give it a couple of different names, but a depreciation on the assets, it is pretty much always going to be that $42,000 and that $60,000. And really, they're picking up the bill on the other side in the sense of, you know, this then keeps it all above board on how they're charging that out. But obviously, we're lucky enough to have them pick up the bill that we haven't made on the other side. Would that be right, Karen?
Hi, Karen.
Yes, just nodding.
Sorry, through the chair, it takes a little while to unmute. Using the wrong mouse. Yes, that's exactly right. I think it's not going to change terribly much. We'll pick up the bill on the other end anyway. So it's probably, it would look better for the authority, but it would probably be a bit of a cover, really. It's still an expense that council's incurring.
Any other questions in relation to the budget and the recommendations that we have in front of us?
One thing that I was looking at, Meg, and I did do a bit of a check. When we were looking and talking about donations, and there's a couple of things that I want to clarify, but not here, but our donations are not GST. We don't have to pay tax on our donations. So I note that you didn't put donations in the review. Is that, you know...
Just under the, sorry, through the chair, just under the... other income.
Yeah.
Because this report is actually condensed so that you just get all the headings, there's quite a bit of information below them. But when the donations are actually put into zero, then they go in with no GST on them.
Okay.
So when I receive them into the bank and then receive them into zero, I make sure that they don't have that GST component on it.
Okay. Thanks for that.
That's all right.
Also, yeah, while you're there, Carol, congratulations on the souvenir sales. I think we've made a net profit of about $7,000 over that period. So that's pretty impressive. So well done for you and your team.
A lot of thanks to Meg and her support and her willingness to actually work with us and give us the flexibility to do some of the things we've done. So it's real teamwork down there. And I believe that we can improve that as we go along, but thanks.
Well done, Carol.
It's a pity COVID hauled that up because you were really going well. So.
No, we just had to pay out some money for a heap of stuff that we got in and then we closed. So
exactly.
We're ready to go when we open.
That's it. That's it.
But we've got, I didn't count what you just purchased, Meg, but we do have $7,000 worth of stock on hand that's all paid for.
Yes.
And then the last order that Meg brought in that I'm not sure on the amount. So, look, we're in that area, we're sitting really comfortable.
Yeah.
And some exciting things coming.
All right, thanks for that. I think we need to move these recommendations separately. So we have recommendation one. Would somebody like to move recommendation one?
Move it.
Carol, that would be Rachel seconded. Had a hand up second. All those in favour?
Aye.
Carried. Recommendation two, as it's written. Somebody move. Nigel.
Yes.
Seconded Rachel. All those in favour? And that's carried. Aye. We then go to page 10 of your papers, the quarterly projects update. Do you want to have a chat about that, Megs?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. And with the quarterly project update, what I've done is I've grabbed the business plan. Thanks to Karen. She directed me in this way, and I think it's made it so that it's really quite clear that we're going and really doing an update on our business plan. So with that attachment A, I've gone and basically put the status of where we are at, but I guess also that it just, you know, keeps bringing us, you know, to the forefront of where we are and what we need to do next. So And a good way to report that to the council as well, to be able to show them that. But just going back to my commentary in that report, during the closure, probably one of the things that it's allowed us to do, and that is pull tram number 3 apart. So we're in the midst of sanding that all back. We're actually also looking at replacing the what I'd call the skins or the panels on the outside for not too much money. So one of the things that I guess we are hoping to budget for in our capital next year, we're already working our way through that with Adrian being able to do lots of the work. So that's starting to take shape. And the other two don't look too bad, number two and number one. So this number 3 will mean that we'll have quite, you know, 3 really good looking trams. Hopefully by the time, you know, if we say by Christmas time, our 3 trams will all be looking really smart. WHS, that's another area that Tamar and myself have been working on with SkyTrust, which has allowed us to actually store and record procedures, incidents and different things in this actual program that the council use. We've now got our own account set up. So, and we've got a webinar this week on that as well. So it's given us that time, I guess, to work really hard on those things that do get left behind when you get busy with the operations. Grazing land as well is working really well with this whole being able to swap between Gillespie and Canton and rotating between, at the moment we're rotating between the paddocks at Gillespie with there being the 4 areas. So the Canton gets very wet at this time, so we're leaving that to be and we'll go back there. But we do float over to Canton regularly and do training and exercise in the round yard, which is now up at Canton Place. So that's all working really well. Repair to the tracks. These points, when we've had the engineers, or should I say broad spectrum out in the past, they've looked at the points as they go through when the tram goes through on the island. And they feel that they can weld and actually build up on them so that the tram will run through that area smoother, because it is quite the jolt and rattle as you go through them. So they're going to do that. And they're also replacing that first portion of the rail as you get onto the causeway. We've got the rail down at the yards, so that's all looking to happen in the next couple of weeks prior to us really getting up and running majorly. Again, the stable quotes, I've got those couple back, and I've also had, I know Fraser's gone and talked to Matt Bailey at the council and just asked, where do we go with this? Probably one of the things that came back with that is, how far do you go before it's actually been okayed with the capital budget? In the sense, I mean, yes, we do have our quotes, but the fit out quote is probably our next step, and then getting approval from council prior to getting it okayed in the capital budget. So I guess I'm maybe asking that question of Karen at either now or at another time. We'll touch on that. But that's about, yeah. I don't know if anyone's got any questions on that report or anything that they thought I'd done and I haven't, or something.
Where's the land up to?
The land has a report going to council, I think, at the moment in regards, yeah, Michelle Griffiths is working on that. So it's all going along, but...
Good.
Can I just say on that one, I was talking to Graham Padhouse this morning just to clarify a couple of things that I had found in old minutes while I was doing some research for me. And that will be, the Canton Place will be at council, in the next 10 days? So our next council meeting, and Graham said it's going really, really well. So that's a good positive for us.
Right.
So we have, yeah.
Thanks for that. Rachel, did you have something?
I'll send you my notes, Meg, but pages 14 to 18, I think as we go each meeting, we should update some of those commentary. So like a lot of dates seem to be, you know, June 2020, and because of COVID and things, I think we should update them and be tweaking them so that it's a continually alive document. So there are just a few that I think would benefit.
Yeah. And if I may, through the chair, probably at that point I'd be thinking, if we book in our facilitator, which I have touched base with Dan, but he hasn't got back to me, for our July, I'm hoping for July 21, I think, as being that day that we spend with Dan, is that we review that actual business plan and have it as a full meeting on that.
Karen, did you want to contribute? I've got a chat message from you.
It would, given that the board has endorsed that business plan, it would probably be best that the board then endorses any changes that are made. And given that we have had COVID-19, it would seem quite reasonable to do a review prior to 12 months when a review is required, perhaps for the next board meeting, or if that's too soon for the one after, whether it's before or after you have a session with Dan, or whether you still need one, perhaps a rework of new dates in line with what might now be achievable given the changes, and then get the board to re-endorse those changes and then inform council of that would probably be a good process.
Okay, thanks, Karen.
Yeah.
All right, way forward. Any other questions related to the quarterly projects update? Then the recommendations. We can probably move them together, one and two. So can I have somebody move that way, please? Carol, second it. Tash, all those in favour?
Aye.
All right, it's carried. So that's really the end of the formal meeting. I'll be guided by you. There's a couple of things I want to touch on. We could officially close this meeting, and then move on to a couple of other discussion points. If people have got time, you're happy to do that?
Yep.
Works for me.
All right, so officially close the meeting at 1:01 p.m. and perhaps, Rachel, we could stop recording at that point.